My bishop in Oregon was Bishop Robert Lederhoff. He was a very dignified man. He was tall, a little bit stooped. He was just coming up to the mandatory retirement age of 72, and he was a lovely, kind man. Every year he would hold a workshop for vestry members and for clergy to help them with parish administration. I went one year, and as part of the workshop, Bishop Lederhoff led a small group. And he sat in the circle of the group, and he told a story about when he was a young priest in North Carolina. He had just gotten out of seminary, and he'd been assigned to a middle-sized church in rural North Carolina, and he came in with all the enthusiasm and energy of a young priest, and he started bringing new people in and making them part of the parish and improving the liturgy and making the parish administration more streamlined. And he thought he was doing a great job. And he got a call from one of the longtime members of the parish and said, why don't you come over and we'll have a drink? And so he accepted the invitation eagerly because he thought, well, they're going to tell me all the great things I'm doing. So he arrived at the door, and the elderly gentleman said, come on in, and he handed him a stiff drink and said, you're going to need this. They sat down, and he said, you don't know how close you are to losing your job. You know Mrs. Wainwright Smith? Do you know how much money she gives to this parish? Do you know that when you took the altar rail out from the chancel, that was the altar rail that she had given 30 years ago in memory of her husband who had died? And do you know John Bowman Chase III? He hasn't been in church since you took the prayer of humble access out of the liturgy. And did you know that your secretary is about ready to quit because of all the changes you have made? And did you know that many of the older members of this parish who have been here a long time are offended by all the new people who are taking their place? If you're not careful, there's a mutiny in this church brewing. If you're not careful, you'll find that you don't have a ship to be captain of. Bishop Lederhoff said that he was stunned. He thought he had been doing a wonderful job. But he said, I learned something that day. I learned to listen to the wisdom of the church, even when it's painful. It is hard to hear criticism. When we are criticized, we tend to avoid it or ignore it or deny it or try to brush it off. But growth comes not from denial, but from listening to the truth and accepting it, even when it's painful. Last week we heard the story of King David, how he was out on his roof one morning and he saw a beautiful woman taking a bath. He inquired who it was. They said, it's Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. And David sent for Bathsheba to come to his house. He made her pregnant, and he had Uriah, her husband, killed in battle to try to cover it up. Well, it was wrong. It was plain wrong. He used his power and his position to steal another man's wife and to have him killed. He committed rape and adultery and murder. But who was going to say anything? I mean, after all, David was king. If you objected to what he was doing, he could have you done away with. So it looked like maybe he was going to get away with it. Meanwhile, God was talking to Nathan the prophet. He said, Nathan, I want you to go to King David and confront him with his sin. Nathan was afraid because he knew that this was a risky venture. King David could have him done away with. But Nathan was a wise man, so he came to King David, and instead of confronting him immediately with what he had done, he told him a story. He said, "My lord, once there were two men in a certain city. One man was rich and one man was poor. The rich man had many flocks and herds, but the poor man had only one little ewe lamb. He had bought it and raised it with his children, and it ate from his plate and it drank from his cup, and he slept with it at night, and it was like one of his children. One day, a traveler came to the rich man, and he needed to have a lamb to serve to his guest. But instead of taking one of his own lambs from his own flock, he took the lamb from the poor man and he served it to his guest. And David said, 'The man deserves to die. He must restore the lamb fourfold.' And Nathan said to him, 'You are the man. You sinned against God. God made you king of all Israel. He rescued you from Saul, and he gave you the kingdom of Israel and Judah, and he would have given you more if you had needed it. But you despised the Lord, and you sinned against him. You struck down Uriah, and you took his wife as your own. Now, therefore, I tell you, the sword will not depart from your house.'" David said, "I have sinned against the Lord." Now, David could have done otherwise. David could have denied it. He said, "I didn't do that." He could have tried to say, "That's just what you've heard." He said, "This is fake news." Or he could have tried to bluff his way through it. He said, "I'm the king, I can do whatever I want." Or he could have just had done away with Nathan altogether and never heard another word. But David didn't do that. He accepted what Nathan had said. "I have sinned against the Lord." The traditional reading of Psalm 51, which we said today, is that it was written by David after he was confronted by Nathan with his sin. And in the psalm, David says to God, "O God, create in me a clean heart. Wash me through and through from my wickedness. Make me clean again." It is not easy to hear criticism, but it is necessary if we are to grow as human beings. And that is what David did when he accepted the criticism of Nathan. Once I was part of a choir, we had a choir master who was a lovely woman, and she was very gentle with the choir, and she would make suggestions so that we could sing better. And one day, one of the women in the choir walked out and said, "I quit. I don't want to be criticized as a choir member." Well, how are you going to become a better singer if you can't take any criticism? My wife, Katie, has been part of a number of writing groups. And in one of the groups, they agreed that they would bring a chapter of something they had written to the writing group, and they would read it to each other, and then they would offer each other suggestions and critiques. And after a couple of times, two of the people in the group said, "I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't want to hear any criticism." Well, how are you going to become a better writer if you don't learn to accept some kind of suggestion about your work? Criticism is not easy to hear, but we need to hear it if we're going to grow as human beings. You know, what makes David so appealing in the Bible is that he is so human. He sinned, he did wrong, but the great thing about David was that he repented and he came to the Lord and said, "Create in me a clean heart. I am sorry. Forgive me." And God did restore him in the relationship. The mark of greatness is not just how we utilize our strengths, but how we acknowledge our weaknesses and learn to grow as human beings. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy great and manifold mercy. Amen.